An industry that is not always marked by its diversity is that of the broadcast industry, and it's the subject of a new documentary film produced by Patty Williamson from Central Michigan University and her filmmaking partner, Eric Limarenko, and the film Breaking the Sound Barrier. It will be screened as part of the Traverse City Film Festival this coming Sunday, the 28th at 6 p.m. at the Bijou by the Bay Theater in Bay City. More information about the film at facebook.com/radiowomen. And we welcome Patty Williamson and Eric Limarenko to our studios here this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to have you both here with probably, well, you're not finishing the film, so there's not in terms of preparation to get ready for Sunday, but the screening coming up. We appreciate you taking the time out of some busy schedule in the festival run-up to join us here. Breaking the Sound Barrier makes a lot of people think about test pilots and so forth, but this is somewhat of, it's illustrative of the subject of the film. And I'd like to begin with you, Patty, in terms of your overall research focus here at Central Michigan and then the research that led you into wanting to look at women in the broadcast and the radio industry.
Well, my research here at CMU tends to focus a lot about, it tends to focus a lot on gender, race, and sexual orientation and media representation. But I do have sort of a personal connection to the radio industry. Before I came back to school and started teaching, I actually worked in the radio industry for about 10 years in commercial radio around the state of Michigan. So I have always been interested to find out, since I left the industry, have things changed at all? It's a very male-dominated industry for the most part, but I was wondering, it had been so long since I had really had those personal experiences, what it was like for women who were looking to get into the industry now to work in radio, both on air or in management behind the scenes. And that's sort of how the whole film project got started, because I was talking to Eric about doing more traditional research on it, and he had suggested, why don't we do some interviews and make it a documentary? Let's find out from women's perspectives what's happening.
Eric, was this a subject then that had a direct interest for you, or projects similar to this in terms of other documentary work that you might have done prior to this?
Well, I'm always keeping my ears open for interesting subjects and areas that need to be talked about, and this seemed like the perfect opportunity. I've worked with Patty before, and we work well together, so she seemed, you know, her research is relevant. I wanted to jump in, and there we were.
How did the two of you first then begin that collaboration? How far back does this partnership go?
Oh, about 2.5 years, I think, at this point. It took a little time to get the project off the ground, just try to plan how we would be able to travel to actually get to the women to interview them. We didn't want to do a lot of interviews over the phone. We wanted to actually be there in person and be able to talk to them. So sometimes that meant going to radio stations and talking in the studios. Other times, women invited us to their homes. We went to several broadcast and radio conventions, one in Austin. We've sort of, in Las Vegas, a couple different trips we took because we tried to, having almost no budget for the film, we were trying to conserve our resources the best that we could. So going to the conventions gave us an opportunity to talk to multiple women at the same time with one trip.
The film is Breaking the Sound Barrier. It will be screened as part of the Traverse City Film Festival, the 15th annual festival, which is coming to Traverse City. And the screening is this Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, Bijou by the Bay. Again, information at facebook.com/radiowomen. So from the research perspective, or even the inside the industry perspective, how thick is that sound barrier, and how much of it has been cracked, broken, slightly fissured, slightly nicked, eventually thumb in the dike, whatever analogy we want to come up with? Give us some background of what some of that research led you to find.
Well, I would say there's a crack in the ceiling, but the progress has not been substantial, I would say. We found that a lot of the women that we talked to who were pioneers in the industry, who were really getting their first jobs in the late 60s and early 70s, especially as radio was moving to the FM dial, more from the AM dial, that women were able to sort of enter the industry really for the first time in a lot of different markets. There were always standout women in radio back to the 1920s, but there weren't a significant number of women working in the industry other than as sort of back in the days of radio drama, or if you had like George Burns and Gracie Allen, you know, you had women like that who were in the industry. But in the more contemporary radio scene, we do see women who are doing a lot of midday shifts. We see a lot of women who are morning sidekicks and co-hosts and news, weather, traffic people. But we don't see a lot of women who are getting those morning show positions where they are the lead host of a show. And that, truthfully, is where a lot of the money is in commercial radio. And we're not seeing a lot of women in management either.
Most of the success stories I think we found were women in sales, and that seemed to be the trend across the country in all the different markets. It was easy to get a foot in the sales side, but on air there's definitely a lot of blocks.
And that was where we saw that women had really the most success in terms of management positions too. Sales managers, if you look at sales managers at radio stations across the country, approximately a third of all of them are women, which isn't parity, but it's a better number than the rest of the management scene. So if you look at general managers, it's well below 20%. If you look at program directors, it's about 11%. So they're pretty dismal numbers in terms of management.
Is this something that you can say is Michigan-wide, region-wide, nationwide? When you cite numbers like that, I sense that you find that that's the trend really across the board. Are there any asterisks or blips in there where certain areas, markets, maybe even particular formats where that has been seen a little bit higher degree of change?
That's pretty much across the country and across really formats and ownership when we talk about management positions. If you talk about on-air positions, you do find that in certain formats, women are better represented. Women do make up just about half of all on-air talent if you look at adult contemporary formatted stations. So that's sort of like the soft rock hits sort of stuff that you'd find.
Public radio also.
Public radio women are much better.
Yeah, they're much better represented.
That's right. Yeah, non-commercial stations, public radio, women do much better overall. But then you get to certain formats, rock, news talk, sports, women are less than 20% of on-air talent. Sports, it's less than 5% of all on-air talent.
Hmm. Breaking the Sound Barrier, the documentary produced by Patty Williamson and Eric Limarenko, is coming to the Traverse City Film Festival for screening this Sunday at 6 p.m. at Bijou by the Bay Theater in Traverse City. Facebook.com/Radio Women for the information on that as the festival is launching into its 15th year. Do you see then, as the industry is changing, certainly more stations that are automated or conglomerate ownership or consolidation of formats or multiple formats being run out of one building, all of these things, and then everything else that goes into people that are broadcasting only online, people that are doing primarily podcasts, or their inroads that are being made by women as we see the industry undergoing the rate of change that it is?
I think just from the women that we talked to in the documentary, what we found is with some of the women we interviewed that several of them had moved away from commercial radio and into different formats to do some sort of audio work. So we had women who worked in podcasting. We had some women who worked with internet radio stations.
Mm-hmm. Does it allow them more of the chance then, literally, if it's a startup and they're gaining traction and an audience and hopefully funding and so forth to sustain these things, but they're the ones at that point, they're calling the shots. So it's got to be much more of a level of empowerment, it would seem.
Sure. You know, they're all saying there must be something more than this. So, you know, they have creative control. They're the voice. And I think that's the most important thing. It's their voice. And there's no one else pulling the strings.
What do you think the future will hold? Do these seem to be the things that will be the future moving forward? Is there some underground bubbling up trend that may bring more diversity across the board, but in this case, particularly focusing in the involvement of women, that any of the research or people that you talk to or things that you discovered on the road that you'd point to as the next big thing, as they would say?
Well, I will say, since we have finished the documentary, there's actually been some research done by some of the larger consultant groups in the radio industry, specifically looking at women. One of the things that we found was that most of the women in the industry are told, well, men don't want to listen to women's voices, but women don't want to listen to women's voices either. And now they're actually looking into that. It's sort of been this unwritten rule in radio for decades. We tried to, basically with the documentary, trace where that research is and try to find the research. And this might be a spoiler alert, but we can't find it. No one has it.
It doesn't exist.
Exactly.
And that story is repeated over in every market we went to, everyone we talked to, everyone heard it in all different generations, too.
Yeah.
You know, it's been out there.
Yeah, women who started in the 60s to, we talked to young women just trying to break into the industry now, and they've all been told the same thing at some point, but no one
has
this.
But even the women
research.
Don't want to hear them.
Yeah, exactly.
The self-fulfilling prophecy. Yeah.
So I'm encouraged at least a bit that people are even talking about it, who have some power in the industry to employ women and hire women, because that's where it starts. It has to be the people who have the hiring decision that are going to disregard those sort of myths of the industry that have been around for so long and, you know, take a chance, quote unquote, on women being able to do work just like men can.
The film has come to, has already been accepted into, and I don't have a timeline of these events, whether they are still forthcoming or the ones where you have already been, but the Hollywood Women's Film Festival, the Every Woman Biennial Film Festival, the Cinema Soup Film Festival, and obviously we're noting here in Traverse City and the 15th annual festival in Northern Michigan. Any blowback, pushback to the fact that if there has been the level of sexism there and this unwritten rule for the research that doesn't seem to exist, that even women don't want to listen to women on the air, if you are kind of literally breaking that sound barrier and pointing these things out, are there any that have been reluctant to talk to you or take a chance on the film from the standpoint that it's maybe uncovering something that certain people in certain places don't want to hear?
I find it odd that, you know, this film, particular film, because we're in Michigan, we focused on, we mainly had every major female talent on the air in Michigan for the last 30 years.
Well, in Detroit, at least.
In Detroit and some of the other smaller markets. And most of the Michigan festivals, we couldn't crack that door open, but we got into these major national festivals. So I don't know what that says.
Yeah, it's interesting. We've been in festivals in New York and L.A., but we haven't been able to really get into the Michigan festivals. I should say the Traverse City Film Festival, we are not technically part of the Traverse City Film Festival. We just are part of a CMU showcase event. CMU is one of the sponsors affiliated. So we are there before the Traverse City Film Festival begins, technically. And that's something that we are We had a very low budget for our documentary, right. So it would not really be at quite that level. But it's one of those things that even when we were doing interviews for the documentary, we had at least one major radio group. Mm-hmm. We had interviews with three women in Chicago lined up. And when we got to Chicago, they all canceled because they were told by the ownership they couldn't do the interview.
Which I felt was very exciting.
Yeah.
You know, it was a bit of an inconvenience once we got there, but it just proved that we were rubbing somebody the wrong way, which means we were on the right track.
Exactly.
Telling a good story.
What then, Patty, do you tell from this experience and perhaps prior experiences, but particularly because of the subject matter of this, what is the message that you are now bringing to the women in your classes? What obviously it's now a direct personal experience. How realistic a picture then are you painting for them, or letting them know some of the things that the challenges that will be there, but also the encouragement that the documentary and your effort, even in producing it, can hold for them as potential moving forward?
I think I try to talk to both the young men and women in my class about their role in the future of the media industries, whether it's radio or television or film or any kind of version of video and audio production, that yes, these biases exist in all of those industries at this point, both in terms of gender and race and sexual orientation in some cases. But it's this new generation that is going to set the course sometime down the road. And yes, they have to get their foot in the door and they have to be able to make it into the industry. But I think it's part of our job as educators is to make them aware of these issues of representation so that when they're the ones in charge, they're going to change it and they're going to make it better and they're going to make it more equitable in the industry. But I think more in terms of just specific advice that I have for women in particular are the ideas that finding a mentor is important, someone that can help shepherd them through the process and give them an idea of some of the roadblocks that they might be facing that they'll be prepared for. And also some of the situations to try to avoid. And also just the idea, we had a lot of women in the documentary who talk about their experiences with sexual harassment and sort of preparing them for what their legal sort of pathway is for those situations.
A question that somewhere along the line, even when we sat down before we went on, it's been sitting there saying, well, do I ask this or do I not? But I guess I'm hoping that no offense will be taken, but I'm wondering, even from the standpoint, the two of you obviously working very much as equal collaborative partners, the creative process, that's wonderful to see. I wonder, when you went into certain settings, were anybody making assumptions as to who was quote unquote in charge of the project? Or did they make any labeling or you know, parsing it up in terms of the two of you working together as partners?
Not once. I don't.
Good.
I don't feel that. I think. Patty took the role of producer, where she was reaching out for the interviews and setting up. She was the main communicator. Where I did most of the technical. I did all the technical aspects. So I was running the camera and the audio, and I was making sure lighting was right and all those filmmaking things that need to be done. Where Patty was the main communicator. So I think they knew going in. They were already prepped. What the roles were going to be.
I guess that can be encouraging then, that people weren't saying, making any assumptions about those types of things, or putting any role labels on either of you for that.
No, I think that's the vibe that we put forward. Also, is that this is a team, and I think everyone that we talked to saw that.
I think if anything, at this point, sometimes Eric gets left off of the credits.
Everything's right. It's fine.
Because I think, because it's a documentary about quote unquote women's issues, which it's more than that. It's an issue of an industry. But I think they see my name or my face and they think, oh, that must be her project, her pet project, because she's a woman. And sometimes Eric sort of gets left off.
Well, to be fair, it's Patty's research. So I think, you know, everything's as it should be. It's fine.
As long as we didn't perpetuate or inflame anything else from from the
fine.
Standpoint of who was supposed to be doing what based on somebody's archaic assumption or the like. In the few moments in that we would still have in this hour, I wonder if you could talk a little bit about the CMU. You said that the film is going to be a part of a CMU presentation that is there. So these are specifically student-produced films. Is there a specific category or spotlight? Because I did see that it was not only CMU but some other institutions too that were they were going to get their own kind of time to shine for the work that they've done. Anything that you would point to there?
It's a very exciting week. CMU as well as I think University of Michigan and MSU, they also have a presence.
I think Ferris does this year too.
Ferris does too, that's great. So during the festival, Traverse City gives us the chance to showcase students' work. And CMU, we kick it off with Patty and I's film at the Bijou by the Bay at 6 p.m. Sunday, like we've been talking about. But then throughout the week, there are other events. We have CMU alumni networking events at some of the wineries. Specifically on Friday at noon at the Opera House.
Old Town Playhouse.
The Old Town Playhouse, Friday at noon. We have CMU students' work is going to be shown. So I teach a cinematography class that creates a short film every semester. And if the film is up to standard, we get to show it publicly. And luckily, we have two of those. And we have some independent studies that have also produced films that will be shown. So we have about a two-hour showcase that will include those student films and some animation from our new animation department, which is very exciting. So lots of great material to be shown to the public. And it's all free, and it gives the students a chance to have their work shown in a fantastic public forum. It's pretty exciting. And then after that, there's filmmaker networking events for the students. It's a really a great opportunity.
Yeah, and we have a lot of students who are interning at the festival this year as well. I think we might have 10 up there right now. And I volunteer every year with the festival, so I run into them, and they're all really enjoying their experience.
Well, that's good. That bodes well for not only the future, but speaks well to the students of CMU. We'll refer to ourselves as veterans, not the old guard. Then I guess if we're all comfortable with that,
sure.
Even though we have this these young whippersnappers nipping at the heels coming behind us. So a great experience all the way around, and a chance to showcase many different films, many different settings, many different topics, and among them, women in the broadcast industry. The film, the documentary produced by Patty Williamson and Eric Limarenko, Breaking the Sound Barrier. And this will be screened this Sunday, the 28th, 6 p.m., Bijou by the Bay Theater in Traverse City. If you want to read more about the film and the background and the process and so forth, facebook.com/radiowomen. Congratulations. Once again, we can all say, we pulled it off without the budget that we had hoped to get. I mean, that's, I think, a standard that we've all learned to live with. But job well done, and glad to see that the positive reception is there. And hopefully that will continue with this audience in Traverse City this week.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, good to have you both here. The film, again, Breaking the Sound Barrier, coming to Traverse City Sunday, the 28th, 6 p.m., the Bijou by the Bay Theater.